What happens when you're simultaneously failing at basic life tasks while excelling at complex ones? When you can read at a college level in third grade but can't keep track of your belongings? For millions navigating life with ADHD, this isn't a riddle. It's daily reality. The world keeps insisting you have so much potential, as if effort alone could bridge the gap between what your brain can do and what everyone expects it should do. But here's the truth nobody mentions. Sometimes the harder you try, the worse things get. That exhausting treadmill of overcompensation, apology, and burnout isn't a character flaw. It's what happens when you're running the wrong operating system for the tasks at hand. People with ADHD live in a perpetual contradiction. They're told to be yourself while simultaneously being corrected for doing exactly that. This creates a maddening pattern: spectacular success in some areas, complete dysfunction in others, with no predictable rhyme or reason. A college student might design an innovative app but forget to attend class. An employee might revolutionize workplace systems but miss their own shifts. This inconsistency drives everyone crazy, especially the person with ADHD. They develop elaborate coping mechanisms, denying problems through anxious overchecking, apologizing reflexively for everything, begging for extensions and second chances, and most damagingly, simply trying harder. Understanding ADHD isn't about finding excuses, it's about finally getting the user's guide your brain desperately needs. ADHD isn't an attention deficit, it's the inability to control attention. Imagine a house where the front door won't close. Sounds, thoughts, and ideas flood in simultaneously. Neurotypical brains filter selectively. ADHD brains can't. This explains why someone with ADHD might fidget while concentrating intensely. Their brain needs external regulators because internal ones malfunction. It also explains hyperfocus, where hours vanish and nothing else exists. This isn't chosen focus. It's what happens when attention regulation goes offline completely. You get sucked in and can't leave until exhaustion forces you out. The ADHD brain is chronically understimulated, making boring tasks feel physically painful. Behind these attention struggles lies executive function, your brain's CEO, which coordinates planning, prioritizing, and sustaining effort. In ADHD, this development is delayed by up to 30%, meaning an 18-year-old might function like a 12-year-old. Two neural pathways govern decisions. The hot system activates with high emotions and stakes, while the cool system handles logical choices. ADHD brains live predominantly in the hot system. Organization systems collapse for people with ADHD with depressing regularity. They create elaborate filing systems, color-coded calendars, detailed routines, then forget to use them or watch them crumble when life disrupts the routine. Here's the fundamental misunderstanding. Disorganization isn't the problem, it's the symptom. While brain differences can't be changed, their impact can be minimized. Have less to manage through delegation and minimalism. Accommodate yourself by adding scaffolding and requesting formal supports. Account for the ADHD tax, those extra costs from late fees, lost items, and emergency solutions. Most importantly, build systems for who you actually are, not who you wish you were. Time behaves strangely in ADHD brains. During hyperfocus, hours evaporate. Facing deadlines, time becomes crushing pressure. During boredom, it drips with maddening slowness. This isn't poetic exaggeration. It's measurable neurological difference affecting 98% of people with ADHD, compared to just 8% of the general population. People with ADHD are time nearsighted, struggling to sense time passing without intentional tracking. Their time horizon collapses into now and not now, with anything not immediate feeling abstract and unreal. There's also the three-part problem. People with ADHD plan only for the main event, forgetting setup and cleanup phases. They don't account for things going wrong, biological needs, or energy fluctuations. These aren't oversights. They're working memory failures combined with optimistic time estimation. Generic time management strategies fail because they assume neurotypical executive function. More effective approaches include building time wisdom, understanding how long things actually take you, and making abstract time concrete by getting specific about when later really is. The most maddening aspect of ADHD, knowing something matters doesn't make your brain cooperate. You care deeply about graduating, maintaining friendships, keeping your home clean, yet you procrastinate endlessly, spending all your energy trying to start that nothing remains for actually doing. ADHD brains aren't motivated by importance, they're motivated by stimulation. Lengthy, repetitive, or boring tasks feel viscerally painful, even when essential. What works? Urgency, novelty, appropriate challenge, or personal interest. Neurotypical brains release anticipatory dopamine for behaviors leading to eventual rewards. ADHD brains don't, and reuptake happens too quickly, preventing connections between tedious tasks and future rewards. Then there's the wall of offal, accumulated negative emotions from past failures that must be scaled before starting. With weak working memory, you might not remember why you're doing something. You only see the wall. Here's the counterintuitive truth. Action generates motivation, not the reverse. Simply beginning creates momentum. Effective strategies? Add urgency, challenge, interest, and novelty. Reduce friction, add accountability, accept that motivation naturally fluctuates. Sometimes it takes 30 years of pushing before you finally stop, not from wisdom, but exhaustion. In that stillness comes a radical realization. Maybe the problem isn't insufficient effort. Maybe it's forcing a square peg through a round hole. Memory challenges in ADHD damage self-esteem, finances, and relationships. Yet people with ADHD often match neurotypicals on long-term memory tests, recalling childhood scenes vividly while forgetting current tasks. The core issue isn't storage or retrieval, it's encoding. You can't remember what you never properly learned. Working memory, temporarily holding new information while using it, is significantly impaired in ADHD brains. Imagine having fewer memory slots, especially for verbal information. An ADHD student might forget a teacher's question before hearing all answers. Two recall challenges particularly affect ADHD: struggling with unfamiliar concepts because working memory can't hold them long enough, and difficulty with free recall, remembering without external prompts. This explains out of sight, out of mind. Time-based perspective memory, remembering at specific times, is particularly impaired, while event-based memory, triggered by cues, works relatively well. Practical strategies include using journals to free working memory, writing down intrusive thoughts, improving encoding through active studying and teaching others, and keeping important items visible. Unexpected benefits? Moving past difficulties quickly, approaching projects with fresh enthusiasm, experiencing rediscovery's joy, and dreaming big without dwelling on obstacles. People with ADHD maintain similar numbers of intimate relationships as neurotypicals, but have significantly fewer mid-tier friendships, creating disproportionate emotional demands on their closest connections. Social struggles stem from ADHD symptoms: interrupting, forgetting names, missing social cues, compounded by developmental delays during crucial skill-building years. Executive function challenges persist into adulthood: remembering birthdays, maintaining contact, interpreting social situations. Relationship difficulties arise not from lack of effort, but from executive dysfunction that makes ADHD look different from inside than outside. Standard relationship advice assumes neurotypical cognition, making conventional solutions inaccessible and leading to chronic overcommitment and burnout. Moving forward requires mutual empathy. Hearts should ask about individual experiences rather than assume. Choose battles wisely, collaborate on solutions, notice effort despite imperfect results, and maintain boundaries. Brains need to engage with treatment, communicate needs clearly, and recognize their traits have positive sides when properly supported. Living with ADHD means accepting that your brain works differently, not defectively. Build systems for who you actually are. Surround yourself with people who understand, and recognize that inconsistency is neurology, not failure. You're running different software. Once you stop trying to operate like everyone else and start working with your actual operating system, life becomes not just manageable, but genuinely extraordinary. The ADHD brain has real advantages when properly supported. The structure causing focus difficulties enhances creative problem solving. Hyperfocus produces extraordinary results when channeled. Forgetting past failures enables resilience and fresh starts. The constant search for stimulation drives innovation. These aren't compensations, they're genuine strengths. The journey isn't about becoming neurotypical. It's about understanding your unique operating system, building appropriate scaffolding, and finding environments where your particular combination of challenges and strengths can flourish. Some days will be harder. Some strategies will work until they don't. But armed with knowledge about how your brain actually works, you can stop blaming yourself for neurological differences and start building a life that accommodates, celebrates, and leverages them.